Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 1050 AM Palm Springs.
Jason Gleaves. Now, he's recently wrote a book, The UFOlogy Umbrella, and it's Close Encounters Are Not Enough. So thank you for taking the time to talk to us today, Jason.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for the invite.
So, Jason, first of all, how did you get involved in UFOs?
Really it started when I was young, about the age of 7, when I had my first encounter or sighting with my sister, age 7, in Liverpool. And we were basically playing upstairs, as young kids do, and a bright illuminated disc-shaped craft appeared outside the window of the upstairs window of the bedroom, which we both looked at. You know, you could look at it was a bright illuminated light which you could actually look at without hurting your eyes, and then it took off at high velocity, and then we carried on playing as if nothing had happened. And I'd basically forgotten about it, really, until only a few years back when I started getting into ufology in general, in more depth, and my sister reminded me of it. But other than that, really, I've always been interested in science fiction as a youngster, a bit like anybody else, watching Doctor Who and Star Wars and all the sci-fi programs that I could watch. And I sort of led on really watching the likes of Arthur C. Clarke had a fantastic TV show out, Mysterious Worlds, I think it was called. And again, I just read books on it, on ufology, and got the magazines like everybody else. And, you know, it sort of went on from there, really.
So, now this book in itself, why did you write this book? Like, what is it that you hope people get from the book when they read it?
Yeah, well, this book, really, it stemmed from the first book which I wrote, which was UFO Photo, where I actually analysed photographs of people all around the world who contact me, who have experiences and sightings and footage, and they would need it analysing or someone to explain what they're actually seeing. And this second book really was the next stage on from that, because I really wanted to get... I've always been asked a lot of questions about ufology, and I, you know, basically trying to get out answers to people. A bit like myself, you know, I started asking a lot of questions earlier on, in my journey in ufology, and you know, it's the same with everybody else really. And this book now, the ufology umbrella, is really the next stage where I try to explain close encounters to people, because a lot of people, I say a lot of people, but people don't realize that there are seven separate categories of close encounters. So it's a sort of a DIY approach to ufology where people can basically pick it up and get into the basics of, you know, ufology in general.
So Jason, tell me a little bit about how you developed your years ago, really, that you decided to get into it a little bit more, and your sister reminded you of your own experience. So that's quite a short space of time. So how have you developed your understanding?
Well, again, like I said, it's my sort of natural progression, my own journey, as I said. And it led on, really. I had an experience when I was in the Air Force, when I served in the Royal Air Force at RAF Cosford. There was an incident happened there where a huge triangular-shaped craft descended down over the base, and it was seen by the on-duty guard post at the airfield, and obviously the guard commander and the military police saw it. And the day after, Nick Pope, who worked in the Ministry of Defence at the time at Whitehall, actually investigated the case and, you know, investigated it in more depth. And he even mentioned when he interviewed the young airman who saw the initial craft over the base itself, he was still trembling, he said, the next day after when he was interviewing him. On the same night, this was in March 93, people throughout the UK also saw similar shaped craft throughout the UK, you know, dark black triangular shaped craft, and they were seen by on-duty policemen and other members of the public. After the craft left RAF Cosford, it then flew on to another RAF base, which was nearby, which was RAF Shorebury. And it was seen by the on-duty air traffic controller. And he saw a craft of similar description. Whether it actually came from Cosford and went on there, you know, we're just assuming. But, you know, it was a similar description. And it was firing laser, thin pencil-like lasers down towards the ground. And his impression of the sight in at Shorebury was that this object was looking for something.
Now, how do we know that it was from another planet, or if it could be some secret ship by a government, like, you know, Russia or U.S. or even England?
Well, we don't know. That's the thing. It was seen by a lot of people, but the only thing I could really say is it was nothing that we had in our, you know, our aircraft types in the Royal Air Force at that time. You know, we had Tornadoes and Jaguars and Harriers and Hawks and all different types of aircraft are similar, but it was nothing like we had at the time. So it could have been possibly a secret covert craft. Again, you know, speculation. And Nick, his investigation as well afterwards, he sort of said the same thing, really, that we, you know, we didn't know what it was, or its origin especially.
And that's the important thing for our listeners, isn't it, Jason, that the unidentified flying object is just that. It doesn't mean it's an alien life form. It means that we're seeing something that we don't understand, or that's we it. Don't have a definitive name for.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the craft going from Cosford to Shorebury, what was the timing difference?
It was roughly about... I can't remember the exact time, but it was within you know, a time scale of the first sighting to the second, and obviously the other sightings throughout the UK were all prior to the RAF Cosford. So, you know, you could sort of, you could actually probably put, a map and track the locations on that night where it was seen. But again, you know, a UFO, like you've just said, is unidentified flying object. And I think over years, people have changed the, you know, the definition of that actual UFO, which you just said, unidentified flying object, when, you know, it's not, you know, it's it is what it says. It doesn't mean it's extraterrestrial. It's literally unidentified.
And most governments and military have their own drones or different information gathering aircraft that the layperson wouldn't know about and they wouldn't recognise. So that is a possibility when it's going over Air Force bases. In terms of your take on UFOs, what's your view on them? Would you fall more into extraterrestrial? Would you not?
I would say it's pretty even keel, really. The actual images I get from people from all around the world, and again, when I actually analyse the photographs and, you know, try to determine what the object is that they're seeing, you know, a lot of the time there are misidentified birds, aircraft especially, and weather phenomena, you know, around, depending where they live, location, etc. But there is a small, you know, there is a small percentage of images that are unidentified. I do a lot of image analysis for good friends of mine, James Gilliland and Peter Maxwell Slattery from the SETI Ranch, and they've had fantastic images from there, you know, for sightings of beings, craft, orbs in the sky, and many people go to the ranch to see these, you know, aerial objects that fly over because it's such a UFO hotspot. But there are also, you know, sightings of aircraft and military aircraft. And also, you know, you have to look for the telltale signs of objects that are seen in the sky, because, you know, you look for the strobe lights on aircraft, with that all aircraft worldwide have to have through, you know, civilian and military aviation law. And you get landing lights, etc., and the different coloured tip lights on the wing tips. There are a lot of factors, but especially at the ranch, a lot of the craft that you see there, you know, you can see them power up, power down, and when you analyse the footage in real depth, you can see other objects around, orbs, and, you know, I'd advise anybody to go to their websites and look at all the data that they've got there.
If you don't mind me asking, what was your role in the RAF?
I was carpenter first and then remustered later to aircraft finisher.
Okay, so your analysis, your ability to analyse these photos or pictures, doesn't come from an expertise in that field?
No, I've been sort of mainly self-taught. I've always had computers and, you know, with programs, etc., and used the Photoshop and things like that. And when I say use Photoshop, it's not to change the actual images. It's really to use the filters to enhance the photographs, like you can invert them or use coloured filters, and it brings out, you know, more detail in the photographs. And it's, like I said, it really stemmed. One thing led to another, and, you know, setting up the Facebook page, UF Only, and Twitter, etc., and it just seemed to snowball and get into that side. And again, it stems really back to my journey through ufology, with experiences and things that have happened to myself. And I just wanted to, you know, give out really the information that I'd found on my journey.
We've interviewed lots of people who are very interested in UFOs and some who feel that they have been abducted by them. Do you believe in alien abduction?
Yes, yeah, I do. And again, with cases that I've analysed of, not necessarily of images, but accounts and people that have come to me looking for advice. And, you know, I could help them the best way I can, but if I don't know, you know, a way of helping them, I certainly know people in the ufology community that can help them. But with the cases themselves, with abduction, it's quite often you'll get very similar accounts from people all around the world that haven't met each other, have been abducted and, you know, left with body marks, etc., on their body, and missing time, and all the related things that do come with abduction as such, and which is, I do believe it's not always to do with ET or extraterrestrial abduction. You know, it could be military, my lab, or, an, you know, down that road as well.
It's a fascinating subject, isn't it? Because it's just so big, and actually there is no evidence base for it other than people's accounts. And
yep.
We know that people's accounts, whilst, you know, absolutely could be true, we also know that more people are likely to report the same or very similar experiences because that's how they're believable.
Yeah.
So what, when you're offering an analysis, what is it about a story that makes you feel that it is a credible story from somebody who has experienced an abduction, no matter what that means, whether it be extraterrestrial or otherwise?
Well, really, if mainly I will do imagery and analysis for people. So they've taken photographs and video of images of craft that they, you know, that they believe is, you know, to be unidentified to them. And you can go down the road of checking, you know, about the person. You can do a little bit of background research of the location. And then you look for other airfields or the military installations nearby, and you narrow down the field, really. So, you know, you're getting down to trying to eliminate things in that respect. I mean, there was one case that I did cover that was given to me by Philip Mantle, who's another British ufologist. And, you know, and Philip's been around a long time in this field, very, you know, highly regarded. And he sends me quite a few images, but this one anyway was of, it was taken by a civilian, a Brazilian airline pilot, who was in the UK in Wiltshire on holiday, and he was taking the usual scenic photographs, and the two images Philip sent me was one of, it looked, initial when you first look at it, it looks like a disc-shaped object in the lower part of the screen in the sky. And when I looked at it straight away, I could tell it was a military jet because it was one of similar type, a tornado that I used to actually work on in the Air Force. So, but the second image showed a central flagpole with a Union Jack on, and either side of the Union Jack in the sky, you could see two disc-shaped objects below. And when you look at the image, instantly, you could see all these images in the book as well, but you could see for yourself they do look like disc-shaped objects. But when I did the usual analysis of the photograph, went into depth, and basically you could see there were two military jets again, but it was one jet flying away and another jet that was circling around, and I think it was a US jet. But first impression was straight away you can see the image and they did look like disc-shaped objects. Again, you know, the pilot, like any pilot, is a highly trained person, and, you know, they are trained to observe the surroundings and everything else. So, you know, it's very easy to misidentify things when you know, get into it.
So I suppose I'm still left pondering a little bit about, so if I came to you tomorrow and I said, Jason, I've had this really mad experience, and I went out for a walk late last night, and by the time I got back home, hours had passed, and I've no idea how. I saw some lights in the sky, hours then passed, and I've got these marks on my just above my knee on my thigh that weren't there before. Mm-hmm. I think I've been abducted. Where would your starting point be?
You would, like I said, you basically, you know, try to interview the person if you can and gather as much information as you can on the person, on the location. Basically, you go to work like Sherlock Holmes. You'll just, you know, gather photographic proof. Again, you would also, if they've seen objects, you would look at.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tracking ranges of radar. You would try and look to see if there have been any satellites that have gone over. You know, you can get free apps available. I think Heavens Above is one where it's very good to give you. You can actually put a date and a time in and a location, and it will give you if there have been any satellites that have flown over that location at the time. So there are a lot of tools out there to help anybody, really, not just me, but anybody that is going down that road. But again, I'm not a doctor, I'm not medical in that respect. So, you know, there'll be other people that could actually approach those sort of things better than I could. My main area is the analysing of the images, really.
And it would be fair to say, though, and I don't mean sound critical, because I'm not a disbeliever at all, but mm-hmm. It is fair to say that there will be aircrafts out there that we have no understanding of, that would potentially, we could never rule in or out extraterrestrial existence.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, though, I believe, I mean, a lot of people see the triangle-shaped craft, obviously, and there are so many different shaped craft around. You know, you can get your disc-shaped craft, you know. And again, it tend to go through decades of people seeing that type of craft, which does make you actually go towards or lean towards craft that are going through their, you know, aviation life, which aircraft do. So you can't rule that out. Of course you can't rule that out. You know, but you can get elongated, cylindrical shaped, you know, the cigar shaped, rod shapes, circular, oval, elliptical, that, you know, every sort of shape and form that, you know, people have taken photographs of them. But, you know, with the triangular shaped, which is generally seen, they are still being seen, but they were generally seen around the 90s. I'm sure, well, 90% of triangular shaped craft are probably are, you know, some sort of deep covert project, yeah.
And we did have triangle shaped craft almost at that point as well, the Vulcan.
Yeah, yeah.
So lots of you know, possibilities, I guess.
Well, you've got the Vulcan, but then you've also got slightly on from there. I was involved in the first Gulf War, Desert Storm, and the first time I saw the F-17 stealth bomber was during the war itself, and that was distinctly triangular shaped as well. So
yes, yeah, definitely. Yes, that's right. Actually, that's, you know, slight. Well, was that slightly just after that time, early 90s?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So going forward, let's think about this forward with your career now. I'm guessing you've left the RAF.
Yeah.
And is this your main role? Is this what you do now for a living?
No. I've got a job where that is my main breadwinner sort of thing, and this is what I do on the side. But to be honest, it takes virtually most of my time up. So, you know, I try to get to as many conferences as I can, and fitting them in around. You know, you try and take holiday and things like that, and travelling to the events. So, yeah.
So whereabouts in the UK do you get most of your queries from?
All over, really. I can't really pinpoint a location. There are certain locations within the UK that are more UFO hotspot than others. You know, you've got Llandudno, North Wales, that's a real hotspot for seeing objects unidentified. But then you've got RAF Valley out that way, you know, on the coast of Anglesey. Mm-hmm. Generally, throughout, you'll see UFOs literally everywhere. You know, there's not a one. But saying that, in America, you know, you've got the SETI Ranch, that's, you know, and Mount Shasta and all these big areas where people seem to be drawn to the places to see craft as well. But yeah, I really would say that there's no real set place for seeing. You know, you could go in your own garden and see craft at night, you know.
And where's your interest lie? Is it within the States? And because culturally that's very different, the whole ufology and alien abduction and extraterrestrials, that is very, is presented very differently in the States. And this show goes out, you know, obviously everywhere online, but predominantly on major stations in the States. Yeah. And our audience and those that we interview in the States are very different in how they believe and depict UFOs to our British culture. So who do you prefer liaising with in terms of UFOs? Where would you prefer, the US or the UK?
I couldn't say either, you know. I wouldn't even say just the US or the UK. I've got friends Japan, Brazil, Mexico, and especially Mexico, that, you know, they're UFO sightings over there, they actually get broadcast on mainstream media, not like here in the UK. I mean, I know things
culturally. Very culturally.
And things are changing, you know, because I do believe disclosure is coming, and I do believe things are, you know, are very close to being released, and especially with the To the Stars Academy with Tom DeLonge and Hal Puthoff, you know, and Elizondo, all those people involved, you know, and there are they've got a lot of witnesses who've worked on the aircraft carriers that saw the Tic Tac UFOs, the pilots, etc. So, you know, and also with President Trump being briefed on UFOs, and it's definitely moving in the right direction, and things are changing with people worldwide appearing more to be waking up to what is happening around, not just in the UK but worldwide, you know.
So now, so you sort of think that there's government people now that already know that UFOs have visited us?
Yeah, you know, what is actually being sort of put out there, really, it's just through the To the Stars Academy. You know, like I said, I believe disclosure is coming, but I do also believe the way it's been done, the drip feed effect, so they're slowly releasing videos and things like that. But I do say one thing that did stand out with the military side of it, with the gun footage, they called it, on the Tic Tac UFO. If you see the footage on the HUD display, you've got the altitude and the speed of the pilot with the UFO within sight. But down the right-hand side of the actual screen, you can see the word slave wrote. Now, me being ex-military, another word for slave in military terms is drone. So there was one little thing that I wasn't sort of quite with when I first saw it, you know, and a lot of people are sitting on the fence because they're still waiting for more information to come out. So, you know, but I do believe it's going in the right direction.
What do you do when you get a fake, when you get a hoax, when you get something that you've got in picture or video that you find out it's not what it seems to be?
I'll actually show people what I've found, you know, the findings, the way I've analysed the image and the, what I've actually, you know, put out. I've got my first public talk coming up in November, and my talk will be about analysing UFO photos. And I actually do a section in the talk where I'll show people, not fakes, but misidentifications. And one famous one that I can recall, especially coming through as a youngster looking at books, and you know, it was taken by one of the astronauts of Apollo 13, I think it might have been, or 12 or 13, I can't remember the top of my head, and it was of a, it looked all intents and purposes of an authentic UFO, if you want to call it that. And for years I thought it was one of the best photographs I'd seen, and I don't know why, I just thought I would analyse this actual image and find the original NASA image of this UFO so I could look for myself. And when I actually looked more into depth, I couldn't find the original NASA registration number, you know, for that photograph that was being recalled by everybody else. So I went through other, I actually sat down with the catalogue of the other NASA photographs and went through and found this image, and it, in the end it turned out to be a misidentification of one of the third stage rocket booster, which had been jettisoned, and it was in space next to the other capsule and photographed, but with the angle it was set at, it looked like a UFO at the top, and that's what it was. So I actually broke it down, and I think I did an article for it initially for the Outer Limits magazine here in the UK. It's run by Chris Evers. And I actually broke it down image by image and overlaid the image with the original UFO image, and it was an identical match. So, you know, that there are fakes out there as well, with people trying to make money over, you know, getting clickbait and things like that on YouTube. But, you know, it's a bit of a double-edged sword, really, because, you know, you're getting into the realms of Photoshop and editing and things like that. And sometimes, you know, you'll do your best to try and determine what the image is, and you can only do your best with what you've got to do it with.
Right. Now, it also says in the book description that you cover some of the old historical UFO cases. You're basically using modern, up-to-date analysis techniques on them. So what does that do? Do you discover more things, see more things, or what is it that you can tell us about taking old cases and reanalyzing them?
Yeah, like I said, you know, using Photoshop, it's not about, when people hear the word Photoshop, they think you're actually changing the initial image, but what you're using it for, like I said, is to enhance or to invert and to actually change what you're seeing on the image itself. So you can go back to the old images, sort of the 35mm, so it's pre-digital. And you're basically looking for, you know, how authentic it is. You know, people going back who faked images of UFOs probably put them onto glass and they would hold them in front of the camera, and then you could, you know, it would project the actual image and it would look like it was a UFO in the distance or whatever. But, you know, using Photoshop, you can enhance and see the detail. And also, one good case to put that to really was the famous battle over Los Angeles 1942, where it was a large craft was seen over Los Angeles, and it was fired at by artillery shells, etc. It had the spotlights on it, and because all the spotlights were on this object, it was highly illuminated, so you lost a lot of detail in the photographs. And I just basically tried to find the most original photograph I could. And when I run it through the analysis, you can see in the first book the detail that came out in the craft. And, you know, nobody's ever done that before. You actually see what the craft looked like underneath, and it was, you know, pretty unique.
Wow. So now, where do we go from here? Like, what do you plan on doing now? Are you going to keep writing books? You said you've got a speaking tour. What's next for you?
I've only given one talk before, and that was via Skype through the Esetti Ranch, through James Gilliland. And really, getting into the public side of speaking is probably the next step. Which I haven't done really. I've just worked on some footage, one of the cases I covered of an Argentinian pilot. He was actually buzzed by two UFOs and he caught the footage on his mobile phone. I first came across this footage during 2014, while researching my first book, The UFO Photo. And, it was an unnamed veteran Argentinian pilot, and he'd actually witnessed other UFOs on separate occasions, but he didn't have a camera with him at the time. So he decided to, you know, take his mobile phone with him. And in 2014, the camera on a phone was okay. Not like today, you get 4K and 1080 and really high definition footage, but, it, you know, it was okay at the time. And he was basically flying on a straight transit. You can actually see the footage. You can see the low cloud base around him. He's probably about 5 to 10,000 feet. You know, flying on a straight, steady transit forwards. You can see the propeller turning in the front through the front cockpit. And basically, you could see him slightly look to the right-hand side, and a elongated craft, a large craft, buzzed right in front of his aircraft, followed by a smaller craft, and then they flew to his right-hand side, where they formed up together and then did a tight formation flyby right in front of his aircraft again before it took off. And I think I've just done the footage for the American show. I think it's Paranormal Caught on Camera. And I think it'll be aired on the first episode of that series, second series. But it's all in the book, and you can see on my UFO Only Facebook page, YouTube page, sorry, you can actually see the footage for yourself on there.
Mm. So I was going to say that. Do you have a website, or what places can people go to watch your YouTubes and things like that?
Yeah, if anybody ever needs to contact me, if they need any images analyzing, or, you know, just want someone to confirm something for them, I'm happy to do that. They can contact me on my UF Only Facebook page. It's on Twitter, etc. And I've also got a UF Only YouTube channel where the videos there, you know, obviously larger videos that you can't actually put on Facebook, so there had to be a YouTube channel so you can link them together. So if anybody, you know, needs any help with anything, I'm willing to help them. I don't charge any money to do any of this. I never have done, and I never will, because I do believe that everybody, you know, whether you've got money or you haven't got money, you should all be on the same playing field when it comes to finding out information.
Okay, so now your book is available, I guess, at Amazon, and you could probably order it through bookstores. We're gonna have this on our website as well, so listeners can just go one click and pick up the book while they're listening. Again, now the book is called The Ufology Umbrella: Close Encounters Are Not Enough. And the author of the book and our guest has been Jason Gleaves. Thank you for taking the time with us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or show, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or show, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.